Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, we have Scott Flynn. Scott has had an affinity for understanding the inherent properties of human and objective nature, from the inner workings of chemical and biological systems to the physical phenomena of heat, energy, and mass behaviors in material assemblies and structures, to the unitive mindset required to create and operate socially conscious businesses, all were a relentless pursuit to locate the underlying nature of reality. It wasn't until Scott was introduced to the intimate, innate properties of self via the integration of non-dual Eastern philosophy of Advaita Vedanta with the intelligence of Western quantum physics, did love and understanding of the inherent truth of human and objective nature arise. Experiencing inherent truth directly, Scott clearly realized that not only can ever-present happiness be experienced in this lifetime, but it is the preeminent attribute of all 8 billion of us. Peace and happiness are who we are. Scott utilizes non-duality to point you back to yourself so that you may experience directly the ever-present peace, happiness, and love of yourself. Scott holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Chemical Engineering from the University of Idaho and is the founder and former CEO of two certified benefit corporations. His new book, Love Outpouring, is available now. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yep, that's really great. Oh, Scott, I just want to thank you so much for joining me on the Great Awakening Show.
I'm excited to be here. I love this. Thank you.
Yeah. And honestly, we've got some brilliant questions today, and we're going to deep dive into this wonderful, you know, your wonderful book, which is just absolutely beautiful. And also, I mean, it's just fascinating, this whole subject. So, but before we get into it, I really would like to ask you the question, because this is the Great Awakening Show, and I believe that humanity is experiencing a sort of fastening up of this great awakening, this evolution that humanity is in, yeah, at this time. It seems like that. And what does this mean for you, this great awakening that we are all going through at this time?
The true purpose in life is to discover who you are. That's what we're all running around this world trying to find. We don't realize it, and that's okay. It's not our fault that we don't realize it, because in this country, or this, even in Europe or Western Hemisphere in general, it's just not presented to us. It's not made available in any sort of education system, religion systems, any man-made systems. And if we have this knowledge, we could turn it back onto ourselves to answer the question, who am I? And in that, it would start to work its way into the world. And it would, you could say, solve the world's problems, at least take them down significantly, right? And that is what that really is you're losing the ego, the sense of individual is losing interest in its own self-interest. And when you lose interest in your own self-interest, all that remains to be interested in is everything else but you. So you start to serve the world instead of serving your egoic self.
Wow. Absolutely beautiful. Yes. And as my guru would say, earth peace through self peace. It has to come from the self predominantly. That's what we're here to know about, to know thyself, is it not?
It is exactly why we're here. If we want to know our true purpose, that's our purpose, is to know ourself.
Selves.
It's almost like, if you want to put it in business terms, a purpose and mission, right? That's a business has this at its forefront, or at least it should, right? But your purpose is to know yourself, and when you do that, you automatically serve your mission. So by being yourself, you serve the world.
Yes. And this world at this time needs serving. We need to be of service to others, you know. So awakening ourself is going to help others to awaken to their self, is it not?
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. And this is where it gets, you could say, radical, is that nobody does that. Nobody does serving the world peacefully, right? Because ego, its inherent nature is agitation. So how can agitation radiate peace and stillness? It can't. So you have to get prior to ego, which is self, and rest in self. And once you know self directly and inherently, it serves all of those beautiful qualities for you. That's the manifestation coming through you, with no agitative ego blocking it in any way.
Wow, that is so true. The true self and the false self.
Yes.
So please tell us, our audience, what non-duality, also known as, now I don't know if I'm s pronouncing this correctly,
All right.
Advaita Vedanta is. Did I say that correct?
Yeah. It so non-duality is the English word for the Indian philosophy of Advaita Vedanta.
Vedanta.
Vedanta, where Advaita literally means not to. So it itself is non-dual. And then Vedanta is actually a body of knowledge at the end of the Vedas. And we could call that a philosophy, but it's more of a way of life. So Advaita Vedanta is a way of non-dual life, or a way of oneness. It's a way of one. And Advaita says that this one, there has to be only one here. There's just one substance in all of totality appearing as many.
Yes.
And that one substance is awareness.
Yeah. Is soul consciousness. Soul
Awareness,
consciousness. So,
consciousness,
yeah.
existence, being, all of these words are synonymous.
Right.
They all mean the same one substance. And this is where it starts to get profound, because, hey, I'm aware, you're aware, we're all aware, therefore we have a direct conduit back to this one substance that's generating all of these appearances out of the one reality of awareness.
So this is how I see that, yeah, as a yogini. We come from the supreme soul, God, goddess, source, you know, non-duality, the singularity, yeah. And as we come down, the soul comes down, becomes denser into this duality of, it separates. And therefore is born into every individual person. But it's the same soul consciousness within every body. It's the same of the part of it's the flame of God Goddess within absolutely every single one of us.
That's
So
true.
that is the oneness that we all share. It's so beautiful, and that's what we're waking up to. And instead of waiting until we die to get back there, we can do it while we're alive
Yes.
in the
Die
body.
before you die. Right? So what's dying? The body's not dying. That's where if you come into this without any help, you might say, "Do you want me to kill myself? What do you mean die before I die? I don't know anything other than this body dies." No, the body's innocent. The body is ajata. It is it's actually jata. It's benign. It's innocent. That's not what dies here. What dies is the belief that you are somebody. The egoic mind dies.
Ego death.
And that's the veil comes off and everything that's always been here remains, right? Because we're not gaining anything new here. We're just remembering what has always been.
Yes, it's a remembering. It's a remembering because we have been reincarnated so many times. It's a re-remembering of all those parts of ourselves, of our soul consciousness, that we are a part of the divine, you know. And in I've read lots of the Vedas, and please tell us about, it's the same thing. The identity shared, this is what we're talking about, the identity shared between Atman, the individual, and Brahman, the ultimate reality, if you like, God. This is what we're talking, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Where the individual, you could call it soul, because the individual, the ego, wants to own the soul, right? Because it
Yeah,
owns everything.
that's
But when
right.
the individual being realizes that it's also God's being, that God is sharing his being through all of us, as you mentioned earlier. So yeah, it's that remembering where Atman is a person, right? It's an individual, and then Brahman is God. So when it's realized that the individual's existence is God's existence, there's that remembering of, oh yes, I remember. And in that is the experience of peace.
It's that
Right? Because
union, don't you think, Scott? It's the union. It's because when we come down, we're separated from that, and we're always trying to find that other part of ourselves through maybe a love, divine union connection. But that's that union of our individual soul consciousness with the true consciousness, with the one consciousness.
Yes, it is a union of beings, but there's only one
One
being,
being, yeah. And it's
right?
quite
This this is where the word Advaita comes back into play, because it doesn't, it says it's not two. The other way that it's described, it's one without a second. And what they're trying to describe is that there isn't even one here. Even awareness isn't one, because one has to stand apart from something else to be one relative to something else. Now you have two. So that's duality, where Advaita comes into play is that awareness never came into existence. It's eternal. So it doesn't stand apart from anything else. That way there's no union, because you need two things to come together to unify. This is just pure oneness. And you are that.
But
That's
that's,
what you are.
yeah. And that is the trick of not remembering who we truly are, of not remembering our past lives, of not remembering that we are the divine, that we are all one. It's the separation that brings frustration. It's the ego personality that takes us away from that oneness, because it wants and it needs. And I believe that in this duality, in this realm of duality, because this is not a true reality, it's just a place where we come and learn, isn't it? Like the true reality is the spiritual world, the oneness, when we go back into heaven, if you like. But don't you think that the ego, we need ego in this, we need a little bit of this ego to operate in this world of duality. Yeah. As long as we don't let it control us, we have to use the ego as a tool, to live a little bit.
No.
No, you don't think so.
Zero. That's what makes this message so absolute. There's only one of you, right? When you ask yourself, when you turn your attention within, there's only one of me. What is that one? Who is that one? And when you turn your attention in to see if you're an individual or not, what remains is everything, is being, is the one reality. And when you come in line with that, that's being in line with reality as it manifests, and nobody has to do that. This is what's been carrying us our entire life anyway. The ego is an afterthought, and this has been proven scientifically, that the ego comes in anywhere from 6 to 8 seconds later and claims that it did the reality that happened 6 to 8 seconds prior to it, saying, "I made this decision." So the answer is no, we do not need an
Need the
ego
ego.
to do this life, because the ego has never done this life to begin with.
So, is it a dissolving of the ego or just a merging of it into that oneness, which
So
is?
an ego can't get out of itself. It will play the game, as we
Yeah.
all know, the game of spirituality, the game of ego dissolution, whatever game, whatever identity that it has to morph into, it will do that to survive. What has to happen is the ego, while in the waking state, in this conscious state, it has to turn within and see for itself who it actually is. And the more time it spends in self, remembering who it actually is, it just naturally dissolves.
Dissolves.
It doesn't do the dissolving. It's self that's like pulling it in. And this is grace. This is the grace of the divine.
Yes.
It's because, again, ego can't absolutely get rid of itself, because first it has to come into existence to then try and get rid of itself.
Yeah.
But it's got a predicament, because first it has to come into existence,
Yes.
apparent existence, to try to get rid of itself,
Yes.
and then come into existence to get rid of itself. It
Yes.
can't get out of itself. It has to see who it actually is. And
Yeah.
when it does that, it dissolves from the root out.
That's like the soul conscious awareness is the observer. Yeah.
You could call it the observer.
Observer.
Again, it's another term. It's duality. The mind is trying to create an idea of what awareness is. So when the mind gets there, it knows where it's going. And
But
that's
it's
the
the true self.
paradox.
It's the true self.
The paradox is when the mind gets there is no mind there.
Yeah.
There's only self.
Self. There's only one.
Yeah, your mind wants to know where it's going all of the time, so that it can understand, feel comfortable or not. When it gets there, it has an idea. So it's going to generate all sorts of ideas of what self is. Self cannot be known by your mind. The reason is our mind is a finite entity, and the self is infinite. And the finite mind is trying relentlessly to get its arms around the infinite, to know the infinite and label it and call it its own. But it can't. It can't get its arms wide enough. And so what does it do when it doesn't know something? It says its non-existence, that it doesn't have value. And so to ignore it, to forget it, right? Because this is a game of remembering.
Yes.
So the ego is the forgetter. And when you dissolve the forgetter, what remains? Remembering.
Yeah, of course.
So it's that's why we can use words, and we do use words to try to describe it. But even words like consciousness and existence and being and awareness,
Yeah.
those are just concepts in our mind.
Yeah.
It's not until you experience self directly and permanently, and that's where it gets real interesting, because this message is saying you can be at permanent contentment. Right, this message is about experiencing eternal peace, not temporary.
This is what all of the gurus and yogis talk, and spiritual people been, that's what their message is,
Yes,
all of it.
because you're permanent. There, when you sit with yourself and you're honest with yourself, that I am, that's permanence. That has never changed. Ever. And you know that. That's the permanence. So, and that is self. And that's where all the beautiful qualities of peace and joy and fulfillment and contentment and happiness, beauty are all contained in self. And so when you turn your attention onto the permanence of self and remain there, then you experience those qualities permanently. As yourself, as they're manifesting.
That's right. But then things come in, or we get triggered. And it's that eternal battle between the two, yeah, in this false reality that we are in. And this is, and then gradually, it gets less and less and less until you're there. Yeah.
Right. And that's why this message is so utterly profound and simple. There's only one task. Your task is to turn your attention onto self, and self will take care of everything else. It will carry all of your burdens. And the more that you have your attention on self, what you were just mentioning, the triggers, you're not triggered anymore. Your attention isn't pulled away from the beauty and love of yourself onto whatever is triggering you. No, you become more self-abidant naturally. And that's why this is saying that the more time you spend in self, the less time the severity of life pulls you in to the unhappiness that most of us have experienced in life.
That is so true. And really, it's like we want to be in control, but the key is to surrender to self, is it not?
It absolutely. It seems like there's two reasons somebody would be in this message of non-duality. One is they're truth seekers. Like they just want to know the truth. Like, what is going on here? How does this work? And the other is due to suffering. Suffering gets so severe in your life, you're like, I will do anything to be happy again, because I know that's in me somewhere. I've been happy before. I should be able to get back there. But the issue is then we go out into the modern world for these solutions, and we'll try all of them. I mean, I've got a list a mile long of everything I tried before I surrendered.
Yes, it
But
does
they're
take a
all
while.
It does it to get here, because they're all outward movements. Even, meditation, you're meditating on your mind. or your breath work, it's on breath, or you're doing yogic poses, or you're in talk therapy, which is an outward movement. Everything in our modern world is designed to move us away from the answer of ourself.
So true.
And again, we don't want to beat ourselves up for how it's worked so far. This is a game. It's not a game. This is a message of love. Everything is pointing you back to this. Even the movement away from ourselves, and even the issues we have in the world, they're all reminders to turn within.
Yes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So true. That's so beautiful. And your beautiful book, Love Outpouring. It's just what a beautiful, beautiful title. You say, and this is what you've been saying, that we can experience ever-present peace and happiness in today's world. So just tell us a little bit about your book, Love Outpouring.
So I wrote Love Outpouring for two reasons. One of them was to show my love and gratitude for the sages and the teachers and the culture that has kept this knowledge alive, that has set me free. There is a body of knowledge in this world that when you encounter it will set you free from your suffering. And so that's the love that you sense all the way throughout the book. But the book is really written for the reader to realize what I have with this knowledge. And so I do that in a multitude of ways, right? I can tell stories and metaphors. I have direct examples. I've got practices. I've got questions. The whole book is feverishly trying to get you to turn your attention away from the world, even the book. I even say that in the book. The book is not the answer.
That's
You're
right.
The answer. This book does not contain the answer. The answer is contained within you.
Yeah.
So all I'm trying to do throughout this whole book is just come up with different creative ways to have you see what I'm trying to point to, which can't be put in words. These are all of the books throughout history, the sacred texts for thousands and thousands and thousands of years have been trying to describe this.
That's so true. Bhagavad Gita, all the Upanishads. Yes, that is so true. And
yes.
So, but, and it's like we live in this duality, and in the Vedas and in the, they call it Maya. I call it Maya, the matrix. And it's like that, this false construct of all of the, you know, where the ego resides and the temptations that take us away. It's always taken us away. It's always taken us out there in the 3D, taken us out there instead of, you know, with all of its temptation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, going within. And as you said, there aren't many, you know, really only the Eastern philosophies talk about this, yes. You know, about going within, you know, I mean, Jesus said, you know thyself, the kingdom of heaven is within. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, there's so many beautiful things in the Bible that Jesus said, you know, about the eye, let thy eye be single, you know, the third eye, and your body shall be full of light, you know, and that's what the ancients in, you know, the yogis talk about, you know, the light within and the divine love light energy within. It's just so beautiful. And I think nothing on the outside can fill you up. No money, no, you know, alcohol, no, nothing, you know, nothing can give you that, because that is separation, isn't it? You can only get your, fill yourself up from yourself.
Yes. Yes. And it doesn't say that everything you mentioned is wrong. Money's not wrong. Going out to drinks with your friends are not, it's not wrong. Buying a house is not right. It's like, this is how Maya is playing out.
Yeah.
What is wrong is when you take that as reality.
Mm.
When to use your, what you were saying, it's those are things that are separate from you.
Mm.
So when you come home to yourself, you experience the one of yourself, and that's all you know. So when you so-called peer back out into the world, that world isn't separate, because all you know is one. This drops the distance between you and all that is other, apparently other than you, into the one love of yourself. That's why I say you perceive the world as you experience yourself. So if you experience yourself as a limited, contained person in this body that ends at the skin, and then there's distance, and then there's other things, well, because you experience yourself as an object, then everything else becomes a thing. That's another object. But if you only know the oneness, the one reality of awareness of yourself, then that is all you know.
Yes.
So even though the world is appearing as it's appearing, it's not appearing separate from you. It's appearing as you.
The projection, yes. Yes, of course, because as in our belief, what we believe is what is true for us, isn't it? So it's
this is prior to beliefs.
Yeah,
your self doesn't have to believe in itself. It just is. Yes, it just knows itself by being itself. It doesn't have to believe that it knows itself.
That's like the book that Mahavata wrote, The Art of Being, and what was it? The science of living and the art of being. Wonderful book. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. The Art of Being. So tell us a little bit, what do you mean by being? What does one mean by being?
So this is where we can apply questions to ourselves to take us to being so that we can start to experience being. Because we can talk about being for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, but it's not until you experience it to where you know what it is. Because being only knows itself by being itself. Okay, so we can ask ourselves question of, am I aware? And we're like, yes, I'm aware. Notice that you didn't have to second guess it. It's inherent as you that I am aware. Like there's no effort involved. There's absolutely zero effort to be aware. And you didn't have to consult your mind. Hey, mind, am I aware? Yes, you're aware. No, this is the most intimate experience we have is being aware. So this time when you ask yourself the question, take your attention to where the answer lies. Yes, because you had to go somewhere to know that you were aware to then deliver the answer of yes. So this place, which is a dimensionless place, it doesn't have a location, exists because it has to exist. So ask yourself the question again, am I aware? And go there, and we can start to investigate into the qualities of awareness. So this is always better with your eyes closed at first, because our eyes are so attracted to the Maya. So you can close your eyes if you'd like, and see if you can find a border in this place that you can't describe, you can't know. You could call it nothing, which is okay. It's because it is not a thing. You could call it darkness. You could call it a void or a vacuum, but it's not completely empty because you're still aware of it there. So that's why it's not a vacuum, because awareness is still there, that this place exists, this place of awareness. And so when you start to try to find an edge or a border, you realize it's borderless, it's boundless freedom. You can go anywhere you want in it. There's no irritation. There's no limitation. There's no lack, right? Because if we keep studying it, we realize it's absolute peace and silence and stillness, which is the definition of peace, of the absence of agitation. And if we keep going with it, it's there, because there is no lack, then there's no desire for anything. See, so when we have no desire, that means we're full, we're whole, we're complete. That is the definition of happiness, when we're completely full. And then because there's no separation here, like it can't pull itself apart, it can't stand apart from itself. That's the definition of unity. And the unit definition of unity is love. So these are the qualities of being that you have a direct experience with. That's what makes Advaita so profound, is that we can talk about it until the cows come home, but it's not until you make the effort to experience it is when it changes the trajectory of your life because it has
Yeah.
everything that you are after.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And Scott, that was so beautiful how you described that. That was really just so beautiful. That's how I feel when I go in and I meditate, you know, every day. But it's doing that every day that makes you feel that more and more and more, for you to open your eyes and to be that in the world. Yeah. It becomes, the more you do that, it becomes so, you become so acquainted with that peace and that experience that you become it, you be it. Yeah, you be it. And that's when you can live it in your everyday existence.
It's just being. You just be. There's nobody that bees. There's not a doer of beer. There's no doer of being. There's just being.
But it allows you, to the more, you know, you experience that.
Yeah.
The more you shall be it. It's like, it's just amazing. Wow.
And this outpouring, because I keep saying the task is to turn within. So why did you call it love outpouring? and that the answer is because when you realize yourself, you start to have these spontaneous laughters, like you're hearing me laugh, or you could cry with tears of joy, or you could just be like paralyzed with awe. These are the experiences of the divine, and these kind of like outpourings of gratitude of the divine in the acknowledgement of itself.
Wow. And because you are emanating, you're being, you are that, you're being that, you're emanating it. And the outpouring is giving that and being that with everyone else.
Yes. It's you inadvertently shine. You've lost control of not being able to be your best servant to the world at that time. Because this is just clarity. And so whatever the world is doing and whatever the world needs at the time, you're there in the most servitude way that you possibly could be. And you can't stop that anymore.
No. And then as you do that, it's like you lead by example. It's like it's infectious because it's love, because it's peace, because it's our natural way of being. Isn't it our natural way of being?
It's our true nature, yes.
It's our true nature. And so others will feel that and they will start to, you know, be.
Well, yeah, because you realize that since everybody else is none other than yourself, there are no others anymore. There's only yourself. And all you want for yourself is for yourself to be at peace with itself.
Yes.
And so, yes, when you see people suffering and, you know, in anger and just frustration, you're just like, I wish you could change. I wish you could see it differently, you know, and whatever that means at the time, if you know the person, you can console them or whatever, but it's just about being yourself. It's words almost don't have any impact. They're not as impactful. Yeah. You could say it's just the radiance.
Yeah. And that means it's all one, you know, when you make conflict, you're just hurting yourself. When you harm another, you're harming yourself.
Yeah.
When you give out love, you're giving love to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus said when he said, you know, do unto what you would to others to yourself, because everything you give out, you receive back, because there's only one. We're all mirrors to each other, showing each other's light and dark aspects.
Yes. When you know yourself, you lose the ability to hate and harm or to control or manipulate in a way to better yourself. That it just, it's not there anymore. And this goes all the way back to your first question, like how can this change the world? Well, this is it. When you know yourself, you lose the self-interest. You lose the ability to hate, harm, manipulate, control. It just goes away. It's not even a lever to pull anymore.
Yeah.
It's non-existent.
Yes.
That's why this inadvertently, unavoidably comes through.
Yes. And that's self-realization. Isn't it?
That is self-realization.
It's self-realization. Yes. Oh. Well, Scott, where can we read your beautiful book, Love Outpouring? Because I'm going to buy it. I'm telling you, after this, it's just really, really interesting and so fascinating.
Well, at all of the typical places you can buy books, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and your local outlets.
Yeah.
You can reach me through my website at loveoutpouring.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find my email there if you got questions. I do give free one-on-one non-duality sessions. So you could just go to my website and sign up and we do this.
Lovely.
And I meet people where they are and help them along.
Wow.
And I've got over 250 videos on YouTube at Love Outpouring. And so,
wow.
Yes, you can find me at all these places.
Mm. Well, Scott, I just want to say thank you for so much of your divine wisdom. Thank you for wakening up to your spiritual, you know, to the spiritual path, and for, you know, it's just beautiful. Your knowledge and your wisdom is so needed at this time. So, Scott, thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you for having me. I truly enjoyed our time together.
Yeah, it was lovely.